Going to the Gospel of Luke today. Luke chapter 23, verse 27 through 56. So we're going to have quite a bit of reading, and then we're backing up into the 22nd chapter and kind of reviewing a little bit. And if we don't finish this morning, we will be finishing it tonight, and we will be going through other verses of Scripture concerning the crucifixion and some of the things that went on. And so we'll be doing that tonight and Wednesday night. And so we'll be off of the of 2 Corinthians just this week, and then same with the Book of Psalms on Wednesday night. We'll be talking about and dealing with the crucifixion during that time. So Luke chapter 23, beginning to read with verse 27. "And there followed him a great multitude of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming in which they shall say, Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bear, and the paps that never gave suck. Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, Fall on us, and to the hills, Cover us. For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry? And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place, which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others. Let him save himself, if he be the Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the King of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek, of Latin, and Hebrew, This is the King of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged rallied on him, saying, If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing that thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto the Lord, unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. The sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said this, he gave up the ghost. Now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, Certainly this was a righteous man. And all the people that came together to that sight, beholding the things which were done, smote their breasts and returned. And all his acquaintance and the women that followed him from Galilee stood afar off, beholding these things. And behold, there was a man named Joseph, a counselor, and he was a good man and a just, the same had not consented to the counsel and deed of them. He was of Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who also himself waited for the kingdom of God. This man went unto Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. And he took it down, wrapped it in linen, laid it in a sepulcher that was hewn in stone, wherein never man before was laid. And that day was the preparation, the Sabbath drew on, and the women also, which came with him from Galilee, followed after, and beheld the sepulchre, and how his body was laid. And they returned, and prepared spices and ointments, and rested on the Sabbath day, according to the commandment." Let's begin with prayer. Father, thank you for your precious word. I just ask that you'll just lead us today, and have your perfect will. I thank you for all that have come to hear your word today. I just ask that, Father, your Spirit. He will have the opportunity, and we will open our hearts up that we will hear and listen to what you have to say today, and then be obedient to your precious word. So please, dear Lord, just touch every heart. Those that would be here lost, that have never come by faith to Jesus, never met him at the cross. Please, today they meet you at the cross, dear Lord, that they call upon you and believe. It's that simple. Just believe. And so please today that they believe on your precious name and be saved. And Father, for us that have been saved for many years, the joy of looking to the cross of Calvary should just touch our hearts and melt our hearts, Father, with a great love and joy that we should have for you. So please, dear Lord, just guide and lead us now today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. We started reading right at the time that the Lord Jesus was being led out to Calvary. That's where the 27th verse starts. I'd like to back up very quickly and just give a little overview of what has taken place. And we're going to start back in chapter 22 and beginning with the 7th verse. And if you look back to Luke 22:7, you'll find that they are preparing for the Passover. They have found the upper room, and they're preparing for the Passover. The Lord's Supper is given at this time, so that's when we receive that. And then also at this same time in the upper room is when the one that was going to betray the Lord Jesus was identified. And so that took place all at the upper room. Next we have, if you'll go in chapter 22 to verse 31 and 34 and through 34, and you'll find that that is the place that that Peter has a discussion with the Lord. Because the Lord tells him there, predicts there, tells the future there, that you're going to deny me three times. Well, Peter, in all his boldness and his being a human like he is, why, he made the statement, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. That was the statement Peter made. Well, we know that he does deny the Lord three times because the Lord knew the conditions it was going to be under and what was going to happen to Peter. We move from now the upper room and the Lord's Supper, Judas being identified, Peter being said that he was going to deny the Lord three times, and then next we come to the garden. And so as we move from the upper room to the garden, you'll find that at verse 39 through 53. The scripture says the Mount of Olives. And so as we come, he went to pray. And our Lord Jesus, according to the word of God, prayed drops of sweat drops of blood. That's what our Lord was going through as he came close to dying on the cross for us. And yet, what did the disciples do? The disciples was asleep. He said, stay awake, stay alert. And they were asleep. And so we find that in as they went to the garden. And then in chapter 22, verse 47 through 53, as you look at the next section there, we find where Judas betrayed the Lord Jesus with a kiss. And so he led the soldiers to him, kissed the Lord Jesus, and that was the identification, and they took Jesus. They arrested him. First of all, in chapter 22, in verse 54, then we find that he went to the priest's house. This is Luke. If you take all four Gospels, you'll find a little different as each one of the these Gospel authors have recorded it. All are correct. Some left a little bit out here, and some saw this was necessary to identify with. And so as you go through the four Gospels, you'll find things just a little bit different. Today we're just going to stay in Luke. We find here that they were taken to the priest's house, and the high priest's house. That's verse 54. And there's a statement at the end of that 54th verse that tells us something. He says, Peter followed afar off. The Lord told him not to. The Lord said, don't follow. He knew the pressure. He knew what was going to go on. And yet, Peter did and followed here fairly close. Well, we find next then that in the 55 through 62 that Peter did deny the Lord three times. And so we knew that he was going to. He did. And so as we find the denial of the Lord Jesus, what a sad day. And when we look at verse 62, different than Judas. Judas, after he had betrayed the Lord, he went out and hanged himself. Because, you see, Judas wasn't saved. But Peter, yes, he made a terrible mistake to deny his Lord. But look what it did to his heart. He went out and he wept. It just broke his heart that he had done such a thing to his Lord in denying him. And so we find now that the Lord Jesus goes through from the high priest's house. He finds in 63 through 65 that the scripture says there, the men that held Jesus mocked him and smote him. And when they had blindfolded him, they struck him on the face and asked him, saying, prophesy, who is it that smote thee? And many other things blasphemously spake they against him. And so when we look at the beating that our Lord has taken as he comes to the cross of Calvary, as we've made mention many times, we look at this picture that you see the Lord Jesus upon the cross, and his arms are outstretched, and his feet are nailed to the cross, and just a little drip of blood is coming down. Jesus was brutally beaten, and the scripture tells us in the Old Testament you couldn't even tell whether he was man or beast. Beaten. That's what our Lord did for us. He was God. He was perfect. And yet look what he faced for you and for me that we can have salvation. Next we find that he is brought to the Sanhedrin. Now, I want you to take note that first, the soldiers, they brought him to Pilate's house. And then when he was removed from Pilate's house, he was taken to the council, to the Sanhedrin. And look at verse 66. And as soon as it was day, the elders of the people and the chief priests and the scribes came together and led him there. So look at the high officials that has taken control of the Lord Jesus and has taken him from Pilate's palace down to the council. And then they had some questions. Art thou the Christ? Tell us. And in verse 67 here, we have one of the first places where it shows us that we need to be very serious and in prayer in where we share the gospel. Because Jesus knew the hearts of these people. And he said, if I tell you, you won't believe. Why wouldn't he tell them, I am the Christ? Because it's as throwing the pearls before the swine. They had no desire to know that he was the Christ so they could believe. And Jesus knew their heart. And that's the reason that we need to be in prayer. And the Lord will lead us and bring us by folks that need to hear the gospel. And we need to be sure that the Lord is leading us so the Holy Spirit can have his perfect will. We find now that we have been led to the Sanhedrin or to the council. We find that he is led back to Pilate in chapter 23, verses 1 through 5. And in this section, we find who brings him back to Pilate. The whole multitude of them arose and led him to Pilate. So the first time here, it was the soldiers that brought the to Pilate's house. Next we have the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes. Now we have gained a multitude with them, and they bring him from there back to Pilate. And so in verses 1 through 5, Then Pilate finds out that Herod is really the one under the jurisdiction. Pilate doesn't want to make a decision. And so Pilate decides that he's going to give to these the folks an opportunity to go to Herod, because Herod's really the one that should be in charge here. Pilate just doesn't, he plain doesn't want to make a decision. And so he sends him to Herod. He thinks, I'm going to get out of this. And he sends him to Herod. Well, Herod's glad to see him. That's what Scripture tells us in verse 8. And when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceedingly glad, for he was desirous to see him for a long season, because he had heard many things of him. He hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. You see, most people want to see miracles done. We live in a life that, you love to see a miracle performed. Well, the greatest miracle ever performed is when Jesus died on the cross, and by him dying on the cross, it took our sin away. And that is the greatest miracle that can ever be performed, to make me whole, to make me clean, to save me. Well, Herod wasn't looking for that kind of salvation. Herod was looking for some miraculous miracle. You know, heal this one, or raise this dead, or he wanted to see something. He wanted to see something. Jesus, again, knew his heart. He questioned with him in many words, but he answered him nothing. And the chief priests and the scribes stood and vehemently accused him. Herod, with his men of war, sat him at naught and mocked him and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe and sent him back to Pilate. He didn't get his miracle, did he? Why didn't Jesus speak to him? Why didn't Jesus say, I am the Christ, I am the Son of God? Because Herod didn't care. Herod wanted to see some magic act, and that's all that he wanted. You see how close you can be to Jesus and not be saved? How close are you to Jesus, and yet you don't know him as your Savior? You need to believe in him. Believe that he saved you and took your sin away. He did. Please trust in him. We're back to Pilate's house. And we find now, as we look back with Pilate, Pilate's got a problem. Because in interviewing him again and listening to him again, he makes the statement, Pilate says, I find no fault in this man. I find no fault. So Pilate's willing to let him go. Herod didn't do anything with him. He's back to Pilate's house for a second time. He sees nothing wrong in this man. Let him go. That's all he wanted. Here, once again, we see the heart of man. Because the heart of man here would desire Barabbas, an evil, wicked murderer. They would rather have him free back on the streets than to let the Son of God go. That's the true heart of man. Man has no desire for God. Man desires nothing of God or of good. We have to have the Lord Jesus Christ. Pilate thought he could get out of it just by releasing him. But they cried out, crucify him, crucify him. We want Barabbas. And so Pilate got himself caught in the middle, and at that time it was customary to release someone. He thought, sure, that would be a good way to get out of this situation. I'll release Jesus. No. No. Man is so wicked. We find at the end of this section that Jesus is unable to carry his own cross. And they compel a man named Simon of Cyrene, as he was coming out of the country, they took him, laid the cross of Jesus upon him, and he bore the cross of Jesus to Calvary. And so we find that here in verse 26. Now, That was a quick survey of the activities that have taken place, and we sure didn't spend a lot of time. We will spend more time tonight and tomorrow night and Wednesday night, tonight and Wednesday night on these. But now we come to the text, and I was afraid that we wouldn't get too far with it, so again, you'll need to come back tonight. There followed him a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus, turning into them, said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves, for your children. For behold, the days are coming in which they shall say, 'Blessed are the barren, the womb that have never bore, and the paps that have never gave suck.' Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry?" On the way to the cross, we find these folks are sympathetic to the Lord Jesus. Those that hate him and those that love him. But those that love him cried out for him. And he is saying here, don't have sympathy upon me. Believe in me. But don't have sympathy for me. Don't weep for me. And then he continues and he says very quietly, I believe, and yet with great force, "There's coming a day that's going to be much worse than this day. It's going to be a day that would be better if you never had children. It would be a day that would be better that you'd never been born." And there's 2 days for the Jews that's going to be the case. One is the year 70 AD, which is about 40 years in the future from this time here that we're looking at. And we find that Jerusalem was destroyed. And the historian Josephus tells us that at that time in 70, when Rome came and destroyed Jerusalem, not one block was on top of another, that there was 1 million Jews murdered. The historian Josephus tells us that there wasn't one tree left standing in Jerusalem, because they cut all the trees down and made them crosses and crucified these people. And when they finished with that, they took the rest away and put them into slavery, and said there was such an overabundance of them, of slaves, that it destroyed the slave market. That the value of a slave was literally nothing because there were so many on the market. You know, supply and demand. That's what happened to Israel. So I'm sure that day would be a day that it would have been better if you had not had children. That you'd not had someone that you'd brought into this world because of that terrible destruction. But another time that they're talking about here is the Great Tribulation. That too is going to be another time that will be very similar, very identical to that. Jesus did not die to gain someone's sympathy. He died for our sins, to save us, to take away our sins. We find, according to the verse 32, that there were also two others, malefactors, criminals, led with him to be put to death. We find that in verse 32. Verse 33 tells us of the place. It's called Calvary, Golgotha, the skull, on a hill called Mount Calvary. That's where salvation was purchased for you and for me. And when you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, that's where you find Jesus. Because your sins was placed upon the man, the Son of God, that was nailed on that cross that day. He took on all your sins, and he died with all your sins. Every one of them. Took them all away. All you have to do is believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll be saved. We're told not only the place, outside of Jerusalem, out the gates of Jerusalem, but also how the criminals were placed, one on the right and one on the left. Next, we find the Lord Jesus for the first time speaking. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Hanging on the cross. It's in 3-hour intervals that we have. So for 3 hours, as we come to verse 35, 36, there were 3 hours that they railed upon him. They smote him. They spoke evil words. The smoting was finished when they died, when they nailed him to the cross. But they spoke evil things to him. And what an awful time for our Savior. And his words out of his mouth was, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And then comes the parting of the raiment, of casting of lots. Now, as we've always said, from the beginning of Genesis to the end of Revelation, it's all speaking about Jesus. Some things are very clear. In Psalms 22:18, they part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. That's Psalms 22:18. What's the end of this verse tell us? They parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them, deriding him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be the Christ, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. Again, that was all in evil words, in words of blasphemy. He is the Christ, he could save himself. He is the chosen of God. And yet, he stayed quiet. Another quote from Psalms 22:17. I may tell all my bones, they look and stare upon me. The next we find that the rulers derided him or made fun of him, poked fun of him. And again, we have scripture verse in Psalms 22, each one of those, Psalms 22:18, 22:17, now 22:6-8. But I am a worm and not a man, a reproach of man and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, He trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighteth in him. Speaking clearly of the Lord Jesus. Save yourself. The soldiers also mocked him, verse 36, coming to him and offering him vinegar, mocking him. If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And we find here that there is a title put above the cross. And that title is in Greek, Latin, and Hebrew. This is the king of the Jews. If you take all four gospels and you put everything together, you find this is Jesus of Nazareth, the king of the Jews. Greek, Latin, and Hebrew. Greek for the educated, for the lecturer, for the scientist. Latin for the law, the military, the government. Hebrew for the religion. We're going to give a small timetable here, and then we'll close. And we're going to begin there tonight in verse 39. Jesus was crucified, put on the cross, the third hour. It's about 9 o'clock in the morning. The mocking lasted for 3 hours. At the sixth hour, at 12 o'clock, darkness came upon the earth. No one could look upon the agony as Jesus took our sin and took that pain. No one. Jesus died at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the ninth hour. Psalms 22:1. The words of our Lord, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And please come back tonight. Come back Wednesday. Let's close in prayer. Father, I thank you for your precious word. As we've just started this study, tonight, Wednesday night, we'll continue it. Please that you'll give us your strength, your wisdom. Show us the cross of Calvary, brutally beaten. Couldn't tell whether you were man or beast, you were so beaten. And yet that physical pain and suffering was nothing compared to the load and the pain and the agony that was brought to you when the sin was laid upon you. Never experienced sin before. But you were obedient to the Father. And you bore our sin for us. Thank you, Father, for your great love. We praise the Lord Jesus for his willing to pay the price for someone that did not love him, died for all. So please today, Father, that you'll touch every heart. Those that do not know you will come. Believe. Believe in this crucifixion. Believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And for the saved, what blessed verse of scriptures to read and to ponder upon and to listen to and to learn. This shows us how great your love is towards us. Now please, speak to hearts today, whatever the action that needs to take place. See, Father, that your Spirit can come into that heart. Save them, grow them, change them, whatever needs to be done. Please, dear Lord, I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.